Hey, 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 you're listening to the Day Tripper Podcast. This is episode 37, so says the paper in front of me. I don't even know why we're still counting. Might as well be 237.
But I agree.
December 2016, and we are talking Texas. I'm, of course, I'm Chet Garner, the host of the Day Tripper, and sitting next to me is my co-host, Todd White. Let's go! All right. So first off, we got to thank our partner, the City of Georgetown. They're the proud sponsor of this podcast. It is December in Georgetown, so we're sitting on the Georgetown Square recording this, actually in a new place in Georgetown called Mesquite Creek. You can probably hear the bar banter in the background. But Todd and I have some local Texas brews. We got a plate of whatever this is, like cheese and salami and fancy pants stuff in front of us.
Oh, yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff. But Georgetown is completely decked out, you know, the tip top of the courthouse all the way to street level.
It's looking a lot like Christmas out here right now.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Oh, man, it looks good. This is one of the best times to be in Georgetown, I think.
I would agree. You know, this is magical.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, truthfully, this is one of the best times to be in Texas because, you know, as much as I love the heat and I love swimming, there's just something special about December in Texas. The leaves are, you know, they're still changing to a certain extent. And it's the small towns that light everything up with their Christmas lights. I mean, truthfully, our life in Texas gets a lot brighter and a lot more colorful during December, and it is so fun. I mean, like last night I was driving on the toll road, and all of a sudden you look out into a pasture, and there's some guy who's gone all Clark Griswold, you know, and just lighting up his world. And it just, that kind of stuff makes me happy. Like every day when I drive home, of course it gets dark early now, so I'm driving home at dark. Houses are lit, garlands hung, the wreaths are on the door. And like, I think as I get older, I get more nostalgic about those little things. And I realize, like, you know, I only have a limited number of Christmases left in my life. And it might be, if I lived to 95, then I get 60 more Christmases, but I'd take 1,000 more Christmases. You know, like I really would. I love Christmas time. And like, you know, it's a time when you try to really impress upon your kids the importance of Advent. You know, why we celebrate Christmas. So we've got some little family devotionals we're going through, talking about the birth of Christ. We've got like, you know, I'm of course a Christian, but whether or not you celebrate the birth of Christ, you still have to recognize it. It's a beautiful time of year. Things are more beautiful. Of course, I bring Christian perspective to everything. So I see the lights and I think, you know, oh, that's to remind me that Christ is the light of the world, you know, and you see all the little stuff, you see the symbolism in it, it makes it all the more special, certainly to me. But it's just a wonderful, wonderful time of year. I don't know, man. I think I get more reflective too. As December kind of comes, I start looking back at the year, like, what did I do in 2016? Did I hit my goals? Did I check those things off the bucket list I need to? Did I spend enough time with my kids? Did we make good episodes for people? Did we inspire folks to travel? And then I look to 17 and I go, well, 2017 is coming whether we like it or not. How can we make this the best year ever? And I know for a lot of you guys, 2017 is going to be the best year you've ever had. And that's exciting. 2017, you may look back on and treat it like the summer of 69. You know what I mean? Like, not that I was around during the summer of 69, but people...
I was.
People, as a little Todd.
I was a year old, but I was there.
Todd was there. You know, I wasn't. But like, you know, people talk about these epic years in their life. And for some of you guys, 2017 is going to be that epic year. It may be for us. I don't know. We could have some huge things happen in 2017. And that's sort of exciting. Some of those we're going to try to bring on. Some of those are just going to happen to be just a couple little blessings that get dropped on us. But, you know, that's what December is so cool to me, is you look back and then you look forward and you've got all the lights happening. You've got the importance of Christmas and everything that means, the New Year. Oh, it's just a wonderful time to be alive, folks. It's a wonderful time to be alive. You know, and so I hope you guys enjoy your December. Remember, there's a lot of good places to go out and trip this month. Johnson City, City of Georgetown, of course. Come see the square. They have lit all the trees around the square down to the very last twig, it feels like.
It is probably more lit up this year than I've ever seen it in the past.
Isn't it awesome?
Last year was really epic, and this year is like, amazing.
They've raised the bar. They keep doing it. You know, but like, gosh, Fredericksburg, Johnson City, Marble Falls, Burnett County Courthouse, Santa's Wonderland in College Station, Moody Gardens goes crazy, Gaylord Texan goes crazy. So I don't know where y'all are in Texas listening to this, but wherever you are, I guarantee you somewhere in the day trips drive, there's some small town that's all amped up on hot cocoa, eggnog, and is freebasing candy canes and getting all excited about Christmas, and they've lit their square up. So go out, go trip. Go ye forth and trip into the dark night.
Your comment about the eggnog reminds me of the hat we saw on that guy in the plane yesterday when we were flying back, and it was like more nog and less egg.
Yeah. More nog, please. To share a personal story, I remember I was 12 years old. I went to visit my Aunt Dovey. She was my grandpa's first cousin. And so we go see Aunt Dovey, and she's pretty much blind by this point, upper 90s, but still lives on her own. She is making homemade eggnog in the blender. And there's an empty bottle of Jack Daniels right next to it. And I'm 12, and my brother's 14, and my little sisters are 10 and 8. And she comes over and serves us eggnog. It tasted like gasoline. Oh my gosh. It was like, would bleach, would clean a car battery, would like, bleach a wall. It was like, I remember being a little kid, like, this is the worst thing I've ever had. And my mom looking at us going, just take a sip and that's it. Don't drink it. Don't you dare drink the eggnog. Of course, Aunt Dovey's completely oblivious. She's kind of like wandering around like, I made everyone some eggnog.
That's fantastic.
Wasn't measuring anything.
That's fantastic. It's almost like my grandma that would be cooking with cooking wine. She's like, little for the food, couple swigs for grandma, little for the food,
oh, man.
Few extra swigs for grandma.
Oh, and that cooking wine's nasty too. You should just get some regular stuff. It's good in food, but don't drink it.
So eggnog, are you an eggnog fan?
Not the eggnog with Aunt Dovey's little special syrup in it.
Mm-hmm.
I will go to the store. Laura, my wife, loves eggnog. In doses, right? So we will go to the store, we'll buy the jug or the milk carton of it and go through it little by little. But dude, it is so thick, man.
I can't do eggnog.
Like, just, I feel like, this is like so pansy of me, but I can feel it going straight to my thighs. No, it's like, dude, if I'm going to be drinking heavy cream, just give me some Bluebell, man, or a beer. Like,
I think with the places that we travel, I think eggnog is the least of your worries.
Hey, man. Yeah,
but
probably
the things we eat.
Probably so.
The amount of fried food we consume. Anyway, moving on.
Mm. Yeah, fried food, greasy food.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Tis true. All right, dude, so we're kicking off December. We've had an insanely busy November. What were you up to, Todd?
So that slight interruption is courtesy of Andrew Wrenchler for Wrench Beer as he walked up and didn't know we were recording.
Cheers to Wrench.
Yeah. So, cheers to Wrench. Anyway, so since last time we were doing the podcast, we were filming in San Antonio, which was kind of fun because that's my hometown.
Was that in November?
Yeah.
Really?
I think so. Wasn't that in November?
I can't remember, man. November's a blur. Because we did Glenrose after that.
Yeah. And then you were sick.
I was sick. Man, yeah, my November has gone by like a blur, so I got sick. Like, I didn't know if I had the flu or the Black Plague or whatever. So I went to the doc. They thought I had mono.
I was the wrong thing.
I was yakking. It was bad. We had to cancel a shoot to Mount Pleasant because I got so sick.
So I want to correct myself.
Yeah.
We were filming in Glenrose.
Mm.
My bad.
Oh, Hey, but San Antonio's fun. That was fun.
It is.
We probably talked about that on the last podcast, so that was pretty fun.
Anyway, Glen Rose. I'd never been to Glen Rose before, so that's what we were up to. And that was interesting to me. The whole dinosaurs and
all that.
It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Let's see. So I got sick. I don't need to go into the details of that. It wasn't pretty. I got something. I don't know what it was. But I got to go speak at B-Fest, which is a new festival happening in Glen Rose. Speaking of Glen Rose, our buddy Drew Myers up there runs a radio show. He put on one heck of a festival this year, and it's only going to get bigger every year. But it was all about being authentic, being your best self, being bold, being you, you know, being audacious, like, you know, whatever you're waiting to happen to yourself in life, just go ahead and grab it. You know, it's about, like, living your bucket list.
That's cool.
So I was a part of a speaker series on Friday night, and then all day Saturday he had, like, you know, people helping people check off stuff from their bucket list. People say, I want to ride a bull. Well, he had bull riding. They say, I want to learn how to cook. Well, they had cooking classes. I want to zip line. He had a zip line. You know, it was cool.
That sounds intense.
Yeah, it was great.
Interesting.
And it's building. So look for it, I guess, next November. B-Fest will happen in Glen Rose again. It was awesome. It was epic.
You know, and then we had Thanksgiving happen.
Oh, yeah, that little thing.
Which is nice, with family and stuff.
You know,
I will say this. I am a firm believer that I think that we start Christmas way too early. I was already seeing Christmas stuff in the store way before Thanksgiving. And it was really hard to get into the Thanksgiving spirit.
Yeah.
And all because we were already ramped up and amped up for Christmas. And I think we just totally blow right past what I think was one of the most important holidays that we have of the year as well.
Thanksgiving. Just like an intentional time set aside to, like, be thankful for one another. I didn't tell you, like, as soon as the Halloween stuff started to sell out, Christmas stuff was filling its place.
Mm-hmm.
This was like 2 weeks before Halloween, too. Yep. And I was like, don't you dare Christmas my Halloween.
And they do it.
Oh, yeah.
Every year. But Thanksgiving was great. Went out to the country and hung out. My wife's family is large, and they're German.
Large and in charge.
Yes, they're German.
But they're
family.
Not large people.
No.
Well, at least your wife is not.
I
don't know about
either.
The rest of them. They're not large either. Okay.
But anyway, when the family gets together, it is definitely well over 100 people that gather. So we have to use either the Bexar Bowling Hall, which is a 9-pin bowling alley out of Zeal, Texas.
Yeah.
Or we have to use a fellowship
Wait,
hall.
Wait, do they call it the Bexar?
Yes, it's called the Bexar Bowling Hall.
But it should be called Bear.
I agree, but it's Bexar.
Oh, see, that's so funny.
Out there,
like,
you call it Bexar.
Out there, because B-E-X-A-R, right, is the county where San Antonio is. And if you say, you know, Behar or Bexar County, you get laughed out because everybody calls it Bear County. Bear County. But I guess this bowling alley just says Bexar, which I guess is like the most Texified or whiteified pronunciation of that. Bexar.
But yes. So it's either there or we also use the church.
Okay.
Yeah, the local church out there. And so anyway, had a great time for Thanksgiving. It was always fun.
That's cool.
It's all potluck style. Everybody brings something home cooked.
I bet that's good, huh? Good food?
Oh, yeah.
What's the best? What's the most culturally authentic thing they do in Zeal?
Well, I mean, it's traditional. I mean, it is good turkey, and it is stuffing, whatever you want to call it, dressing or stuffing. It's out there. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really good.
That's awesome. Oh, I forgot to mention, I was part of Spirit Fest this year with Spirit 105.9.
Is that picture of you online where you were laying on the glass floor at the F1?
Dude, that's awesome. So got to go to the F1 track. Spirit Fest moved to the Circuit of the Americas this year. Spirit Fest is it's put on by a Christian radio station, so it's a Christian music festival, and it's awesome. They had the top acts in the world. Newsboys, Mercy Me, Lauren Daigle, For King and Country. If y'all don't know Christian music, then you won't know those names maybe, but those are the top acts in the world right now. They're the ones winning the Christian Grammys. But there's that big tower out at F1, and I didn't know this. It has a glass floor. So when we got up there, you're on a glass floor a few hundred feet above the tour buses for all the artists.
Wow.
It was awesome. Gosh, it was awesome.
Are you scared of heights? Does that kind of mess with you?
It kind of tweaked my... I'm not scared of heights, but, like, you feel the tingle. You feel the tingle down low, if you know what I mean. You kind of pucker in a little bit. It's intense. My little girls wouldn't step on top of it. They got freaked out because it looked like a ledge. Yeah. They couldn't understand that there was glass. It was something you were going to fall off of.
Wow.
Yeah, especially my one-year-old.
Yeah, I think I'd have a hard time with that myself.
Yeah.
I think I would. I think I would.
But I guess the most epic thing we did, we just got back late last night. Best Western sent us on a road trip.
Oh, yeah.
Started in Austin. Spent the night in Houston. Spent the next night in New Orleans. Spent the next night in Gulf Shores, Alabama. And then finished up in Pensacola, Florida. Dude, it was epic.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. So the whole idea was we were making a video on how to spend your Best Western rewards points. And so they basically loaded us up with a ton of points. We already had a ton because we traveled Best Western a lot. And then we just went out and crushed it. Because you can use them for hotels. You can use them for rental cars. You can use them for gas, iTunes, whatever. So we crushed it. It was fun, man.
That was a lot of fun. That was something different for us, too, because we were traveling outside of Texas.
Yeah.
So it was different. Mm-hmm. It really was. And, yeah, you and I both, when we flew back from Florida, landed in Dallas, and we got out in the airport, and we're like, this is our people.
These are our people. Yeah.
We are back. These are our people.
Yep.
It was fun. It was great. I got a blast. Thanks to Best Western for sure. Thank you so much, Best Western. But I felt a little bit sort of out of sync at times because it's just different.
Yeah.
You walked into restaurants and I'm used to the stuff we get in Texas and I was like, I don't even know what to order.
Yeah. That last night, what did we have? Like grilled mahi-mahi over vegetables, and you had some shrimp pasta. But, dude, I mean, you got to admit, that food at NOLA threw it down. We had some char-grilled oysters and then woke up the next morning with beignets at Café Du Monde. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
It was your first time at NOLA, too.
It was.
It's a special city.
I've always heard how great it was, and it definitely matched my expectation.
Yeah.
It really did. It was cool. And the jazz we got to go listen to was fantastic.
We saw the Preservation Hall All-Stars.
So good. So good.
I think that was maybe the highlight of the trip, seeing those guys in Preservation Hall.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I agree.
While you've been listening to this podcast, lots of stuff's been going on in the Lone Star State. This is Meanwhile in Texas.
All right, so I don't know if you saw this, but we have had a salamander break.
A what?
A salamander jailbreak. They've disappeared. Or not only are cave salamanders blind in Texas, they're also, excuse me, sorry, that's the Carbach Christmas ale right there. Not only are salamanders blind in Texas, they're also magical. All right, listen.
Tell me more.
Listen
to
this story.
We already have enough places that are quarantined for them things.
Dude, every cave in Texas seems to have endangered salamanders because they only exist in that cave. Because of just the way the world has gone, these you know, they find a new cave, they find salamanders that are somehow different from the other salamanders because they've been cut off from them and have sort of, you know, developed into their own species. And so, like, it's hilarious. We have endangered salamanders all over Texas. So they're all endangered. And of course, you know, as soon as something's endangered, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service steps in. So they had about 300 of these endangered salamanders of a specific species that they were raising inside of a tank in San Marcos. Well, one morning they go to the tank, boom, gone. No more salamanders.
Jailbreak.
Just totally gone. You think, okay, maybe a predator snuck in, but there were no uneaten bits of salamanders, no signs that a predator jumped in at all, no blood in the tank, nothing.
That's random.
So they could have been stolen, but there was no forced entry anywhere in the building, no witnesses, no video surveillance, no suspects. So all we got now is that these salamanders teleported somewhere else, there was an alien abduction, or they broke out. Ran back to the springs. I don't
Maybe
know.
Maybe they got tired of being quarantined with all the crazies and decided to bail and go live naturally.
We out, yo. We out. Dude, but okay, so that's crazy. One day, 300 salamanders are in this tank. Next day, none. Nothing. Over Thanksgiving break, these salamanders, poof, disappeared.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I tend to bring up Houston quite a bit sometimes with random things like alligators and stuff like that.
Because Houston's crazy.
So here we go again with Houston. You ready for this?
Yeah.
A 53-pound snapping turtle.
Oh, that's as big as my son.
Right? Was rescued in Houston from a residential drainpipe.
Ooh.
So, but this goes beyond just that. First of all, Houston's just got an issue, I think, with stuff getting rescued and trapped, whether it's storm drains or whatever.
Well, Houston should be a swamp, you know? I mean, it really should be. So, like, Houston's in the neighborhood of alligators and all kinds of stuff.
Okay, I get that. But, you ready? 53-pound snapping turtle rescued. But here's the thing. This was not just any snapping turtle. This was a very unique species that warranted actually preservation.
What?
It's hard to find these species. This is an alligator snapping turtle.
I'm looking at the picture now. That thing is terrifying. It looks like a dinosaur.
It is crazy. It is absolutely probably one of the most unique snapping turtles I've ever seen.
Now, is it true those things bite and they won't let go until there's a lightning strike?
I have no clue. I did not research this.
Okay, that's what I was told as a kid. I'm sure it's true.
An old wives' tale.
No,
it's
definitely true.
I'm going to put the link to this in the podcast notes.
Oh, that's a creepy fella.
This is absolutely crazy.
Okay.
But anyway, 53-pound alligator snapping turtle. You got to look at this picture. It is awesome.
Oh, how funny, man. All right. So, this is in other news. This is a crazy story. So this 22-year-old dude from Fort Worth decides to break into the Capitol. If you've ever been in the Capitol Rotunda, there's a portrait of every one of our governors going up to the top.
Yep.
So he decides he's going to rip one of them off the wall and throw it down, you know, into the rotunda area.
In protest or what?
It causes $10,000 worth of damage to this portrait. Because these things are old, man.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, well, then he must have had some beef with this governor. Who could it be? Is it George Bush? Or maybe he didn't like Ann Richards? You have any guesses who it is? I'll tell you, you won't guess.
It's I have no clue.
Fletcher Stockdale.
What?
I don't know. And so I'll go, what? Who the heck is Fletcher Stockdale?
Is the town of Stockdale named after him?
Yes, it is, in fact.
Really?
Yes,
oh
it is, in
gosh,
fact.
Oh, my gosh. That was a random guess.
But, all right. So this dude was our governor for all of about 4 months. He was lieutenant governor. I was saying, okay, what's this dude got against Fletcher Stockdale, man? Like, why Fletcher Stockdale? So he's governor from May to August. So May, June, July, August. Yeah, 4 months. And he only gets the governorship because the dude before him hightailed it to Mexico after the Civil War. So there's a guy, you know, these are great names, man. Fletcher Stockdale. Pendleton Mura. And so Pendleton Mura was the governor during the Civil War. Okay. As soon as he realizes the Civil War is not going to go in the South's favor, he hightails it to Mexico. Meaning then our good friend Fletcher steps in as the governor of Texas for all of 4 months before, I guess, there's another election.
If four months get you
I know.
A town, I'm thinking, can we figure out how to get a four-month governorship to get
yeah,
a town?
A town. Know. We need a town. But, dude, I'm like, if you're going to protest anyone because maybe you're, you know, against the Civil War, you're against slavery, go protest Pendleton Mura. Don't take our buddy Fletcher Stockdale and throw him down. I mean, of course, he's like a nondescript dude with a beard.
I agree.
Right. No. Poor Fletcher. That's all
wow.
I got to say.
Wow.
Poor Fletcher. This dude, anyway, got arrested. So I guess he's going to have to figure out how to do a sweet oil painting of Fletcher Stockdale or pay 10 grand to fix the old painting.
I think I would be taking some art classes and see if I can do it myself.
Yeah.
Is there like a color by number picture of Fletcher?
I don't think of Fletcher. You could probably find one like a dolphin and a snapping turtle, but probably not a Fletcher. Fletcher Stockdale.
I think he agrees too.
Yeah, this little kid agrees for sure. All right. Okay, dude, you got another one?
In College Station. And if you are driving east on George Bush Drive, if you are going over their road strips,
okay,
they're on the road, the little things that make your car go.
The rumble strips.
The rumble strips. If you actually pay attention, it is playing the Aggie Battle Hymn.
No.
Yes. Somebody has spaced out the road rumble strips to play the Aggie Battle Hymn while you're driving down George Bush Avenue.
Oh my gosh.
In College Station. Now, it's been proven. It's on the news. It works. They're there. Point of reference, though, due to the heavy rains, they're out of tune right now and not performing as intended. But when it stops raining and dries up, it will be
back
in tune, and you should be able to hear the battle hymn.
Oh, gosh. And if you're from Texas, you know what that is. It's bump, 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 bump. I assume they can only play the percussion parts. They can't play like the tune parts, right?
I'm guessing.
So like anytime you go bum 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 bum, whatever. Oh,
that takes some engineering.
That does take some engineering.
So let's not worry about the potholes. Let's appropriately place and map out rumble strips to play the battle hymn.
That's a great story, man. Wow.
Do you got anything else?
This was an interesting one. USA Today publishes a story. These are the most Instagrammed photographed places in every one of the 50 states in America.
And Texas has one?
Just came out. Well, yeah, they did every state. Here's the top five Instagrammed places in each state. So I'm going to ask you, what do you think is the most Instagrammed place in Texas?
The Alamo.
That would be my guess, too. Nope, not the Alamo.
The two-way public mirror restrooms.
In Sulphur Springs. I think that's only, like, used by, like, all of 12 people every year. Not that. Good guess, though. Now, I don't think you'll guess it, because I would never have guessed that. It is the DFW Airport.
What?
Exactly.
What is so significant about that?
I don't know.
It's an airport.
Only thing I can think of is people take a picture and they check in, and that's it. Because it's all about tagging the location, right? That's the only way they would really know. So more people have taken a photo. I landed, about to take off, in Texas eating this barbecue, drinking a Lone Star, whatever it is.
Wow.
But they check in to DFW Airport. Isn't that crazy?
That's weird. But you know, you mentioned that. But yesterday when we were flying back and we went through DFW.
Did you take a picture? Did you Instagram a photo?
No.
Okay.
But I checked in and the check-in numbers were way into the millions.
Okay. Yeah. On Facebook.
Yeah. On Facebook. So I can only imagine.
Yeah. Instagram.
So interesting.
I think it's just a pure volume issue.
Yeah.
That's insane. All right. So
number
two. Number two. I'll read you this list because you're not going to guess these. San Antonio Riverwalk, number two. Makes sense.
I can get that.
Because, you know, you could check into the Riverwalk anywhere on the Riverwalk. The Riverwalk's
huge. I bet
that
most of those are outside of Dick's Last Resort.
Yeah. Oh, I hope not. Oh, gosh, I hope not. AT&T Stadium, number three.
Okay.
American Airlines Center, number four. That's where the AT&T Stadium is where the Cowboys play. American Airlines is where the Mavs play. Dallas Mavericks, basketball.
Got it.
And then fifth is 6th Street in Austin. The only Austin one to make the list.
Is 6th Street. Out of all the great things to see in Austin.
I think it's just sheer volume, man. And those millennials, they love that 6th Street. They love that
6th Street. You're right. And those are the ones that are on Instagram.
Yep.
That's true.
That's right.
Totally get it.
So I'll have to do a shameless plug for myself. This is a USA Today story. Guess what the most photographed place in Louisiana is?
The French Quarter.
Yes. Specifically,
Lafitte.
Bourbon Street.
Bourbon Street. Okay.
And guess what photo they picked to be representative of Bourbon Street?
What?
My photo.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Which one?
It's me holding the beer in front of Bourbon Street. I'll read you the post, but I'm holding this, that you know, they drink, give you plastic cups to go.
Yes.
So I'm holding it up and I say, "Dear Bourbon Street, I raise this Abita to you, #because they don't have Lone Star."
And so, anyway, it's funny. USA Today, there's one photo for each of the 50 states on the Louisiana photo.
That's so random. And we did that just a couple of days ago.
I know. Isn't that hilarious?
Oh, my gosh.
Because the story just came out today.
That is hilarious.
Anyway, shameless plug for my Instagram.
Did they ask you to
follow
use that photo?
Follow at Chet Tripper. Oh, no. No, but they embedded it with my frame, and so people can follow me and all that. They just grabbed the embed code.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, oh, well, you think I could sue USA Today? Let's go get them. Let's go get them. No. It's got attribution. It's got my frame and all
that.
Yeah, yeah. All right, dude. So, anyway, Texas is crazy. Always, always is. Especially around Christmas time. It was funny. We asked people on our road trip, what is their best, what's the quintessential Texas road trip music? We had like 300 comments, man.
Wow.
Almost all country.
Do we have a thread that goes through the whole thing?
Country.
Country?
Country.
Bro, kinda or legit?
Legit country.
Okay.
Usually Willie, Roger Miller.
Okay.
Like Josh Abbott. Like George Strait, okay. You know, Pat Green, all kinds of country, legit country.
Which, by the way, Pat, thank you for the shirts.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Pat Green, you sent us a bunch of shirts. Thank you. Those are great. All right, dude. So we call this next section Questions from the Backseat.
Are we there yet? Hey, can you pass me the snacks? Oh, man, I gotta go, guys. When are we stopping?
All right, so first question came from Val McCutcheon out of Clark, Texas. And she said, your show on Taylor made me seasick. I hate how the scene changes every 1.5 to 2 seconds. I used to love it, but I cannot watch this. Why was this happening?
Well, I got bad news for Val. She's getting old.
Okay.
Because we're not cutting the show any faster than we used to. It's always been cut the same way. Especially the Taylor episode, which was kind of even a slower kind of episode, truthfully. Well, the things were fast, but the cuts weren't any faster. Val, we love you. Don't stop watching the show. We're sorry it made you seasick. Next time, just pop a Dramamine and you can come watch. If you want to keep watching us.
All right. Next question is from Fred Lochner out of Houston, who says, where should we eat in San Antonio?
Dude.
It seems kind of appropriate because we just filmed a San Antonio episode about a month and a half ago.
Gosh, there's so many good places to
eat
in San Antonio.
So many good spots.
So many good places.
I'm going to go ahead and plug and say that I think that there are two Mexican restaurants that I recommend.
Yep.
If you want old school, you should go eat at Mi Tierra. That's like traditional.
Okay, I can't disagree with that. Disagree with that.
If you want to dance a little bit on more of the newer style, a little bit of some fusion, interesting combinations of stuff, but yet still get some classics like Puffy Tacos, then go to Rosario's.
Now, I can't disagree with either one of those, dude. I cannot disagree with either one. But like, gosh, there are, you know, San Antonio, like a lot of places, is going through a food renaissance right now.
Yep.
And the restaurant game is taken off the charts. And so the places Todd mentioned are really kind of, you know, good standbys.
Mm-hmm.
But gosh, in the new up and coming realm, man, go to the Pearl. You can eat at 10 amazing restaurants there.
Very true.
The
Very
Boiler
true.
Room's phenomenal.
CIA.
The CIA Culinary Institute. I think they're still involved with one restaurant there. But my gosh, what about that Cured?
Absolutely.
You know, a place for charcuterie and like one of the best burgers in Texas, man.
Yeah.
So there's just too many places. I will say this. If you want amazing Puffy Tacos, you got to go to the place that invented the Puffy Taco, Ray's Drive-In. We did that at the end of the San Antonio episode, went into the hood, had some of these. Totally legit.
Absolutely. Good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this. If you want to eat on the Riverwalk, I will say the very first restaurant on the Riverwalk was Casa Rio. It's still a tourist favorite. It is your baseline Mexican food, but man, it hits the spot. Or if you want something kind of non-Tex-Mex, Esquire Tavern is
absolutely
lights out delicious.
Esquire is good. Yep, for sure.
So
this time, skipping over Casa Rio, Esquire is really good. Yeah. All right.
Hey, Day Tripper, I got a bone to pick with you.
Goodness, it's the Day Tripper. We love your show.
We get a lot of viewer feedback, not just questions. Let's hear some of that.
So Tim Smathers from Dallas, Texas says, KERA showed the Bernie episode here in Dallas, even though you don't seem to care for Dallas or far north Texas. It was a good show. I enjoyed it. Love you folks, even though you throw shade up north. I don't understand this.
Throwing shade. Oh, man. Mr. Tim Smathers, I hope you caught our Dallas episode, because we love you, North Texans. Now, I will take the valid criticism. We don't get to North Texas as much as we should.
So there's we've a, heard this before.
Yeah, we have. We have, and it's true. It's true. I cannot deny it. Mm-hmm. And say, like, is the thing would say, well, y'all don't have enough to do in North Texas. That is not true at all. The problem with North Texas is it's far away from us. And
it
so
is.
It's hard to get up there to scout, to plan the episodes. Because keep in mind, every place that's on an episode, generally I've been there. I've eaten it. I know what's going on. And so it's hard to get up to old Sherman, Texas, and just bob around, or Denison, Texas, or Gainesville, Texas, or Paris, Texas, or Texarkana, Texas.
Tyler.
I've spent a lot of time in Tyler. I can't find the great things to do in Tyler. If anyone from Tyler's listening, please email me. I know about Stanley's Barbecue. I know about the Caldwell County Zoo, the Brookshire's thing, the pecan company that makes those little peanut patties. I know a lot about Tyler, but for some reason, it's not crystallizing in my brain. I need the X Factor.
Yep.
Hit me up with the Tyler X Factor.
We need something unique. I agree.
Yep.
All right, so the next comment comes from Lane Oscar. And I cannot figure out where Lane is from. Lane has hidden that. So, we're going to go with it. But first of all, this goes to a conversation you and I were having while we were on the road. And it says, why are so many of your photos reversed? It reminds me of the old days when people would put slides into a slide projector the wrong way.
Oh, snap.
So you're referring to our Instagram posts.
Yeah, I think he's referring to, well, Instagram stories and Facebook Live.
Okay.
So, as you guys know, social media is changing rapidly. And Instagram stories, which is kind of like the Snapchat of Instagram.
Yep.
And Facebook Live records your image straight from your phone. And when you put it in selfie mode, it looks like you're looking in a mirror, and it does not flip it for you. So that's not our fault. That's social media's fault. But that seems to be the wave of the future. We don't care if your right hand's your right hand and your left hand's your left. We don't give a rat's. Just show us what you got.
Which makes it problematic if you are working with something that has writing on it.
Yes. Yes, it does.
So my picture of Florida was reversed.
I had somebody ask me where that state was. Yeah. Florida.
Anyway.
Adderall.
We're doing our best. But you know what? When you're running and gunning doing social media, I don't have time to worry about whether it's backwards or not.
Nope, not at all.
As far as I'm concerned, you can figure it out.
Yep. That's right. So, all right.
This place is hopping, dude.
Dude, it just got louder. What just happened? The Christmas stroll starts in like 5 minutes.
And I also think the chamber is doing a ribbon cutting here. It's okay. We're almost done. Let's go with
it. Okay, let's do it. All right, guys. Well, hey, thanks for the social media comments. Thanks for the podcast comments. Remember, guys, hit us up. Facebook.com/TheDayTripperTV. I'm at Chet Tripper on Twitter and Instagram. Throw yours out, Todd.
I'm at Todd White on Instagram.
Yep. Cool.
Don't use Twitter.
Don't use Twitter. He doesn't. He's not a tweeter. He likes photos too much. Twitter's kind of conversations. So, anyway, before December's over, guys, remember, get your someone special that special Christmas gift at the Day Tripper General Store. DayTrippergeneralStore.com. Click on shop in our site. Thanks again to our sponsor, the City of Georgetown.
I'm going to go back to the store real quick. Get your Christmas gifts for your favorite Texan.
That's right. Your very favorite Texan deserves a Day Tripper hat, or a sticker, or a patch, or a shirt, or a mug, or a koozie. We got all kinds of stuff, guys. City of Georgetown, of course, Mesquite Creek for the beers and little tray of meats and stuff. So if we've been smacking during this podcast, we apologize. Remember, tune in mid-month. We will be talking about where to ring in the new year in Texas. All right, there's lots of cool parties that go on every year, and we'll be chit-chatting it up. Anyway, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. And speaking of parties, I'm going to join the one that's going on here.
Hey, good call. We'll see all y'all on the road. Vaya con Dios, amigos.